Today's show is brought to you by Vorvita. After a stressful and uncertain year, do you sometimes feel it's time to rethink how you drink? Vorvita is a web-based program that uses clinically proven tools and techniques to help break negative behaviors and develop healthier responses. To learn more, go to us.vorvita.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, August 27th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Zoe Thomas. Non-fungible tokens. There's a term you might not have heard in a while. When NFTs started really taking off early this year, they were heralded by many in the art world as a way for creators to make money from their art online. But as the emerging market for art NFTs has exploded, so have scams and other forms of fraud. Our reporter Kelly Crow will join us to explain after these headlines. The world's largest contract chip maker, TSMC, is raising prices by as much as 20% as it grapples with the ongoing chip shortage. According to people familiar with the matter, the change will take effect late this year or next year. For TSMC, the higher prices will help push down demand in the short term, preserving supply for customers with no alternatives. And in the long term, the higher income will help the company invest in more production capacity. The move could also end up hitting consumers' wallets. Since Apple is one of TSMC's largest customers, it's possible the price increases could result in more expensive consumer electronics like iPhones. A spokeswoman for TSMC declined to comment on the prices. A spokeswoman for Apple didn't respond to requests for comment. Last week, we reported on a breach of T-Mobile's systems that exposed the personal information of more than 50 million people and counting. Now, a 21-year-old American living in Turkey named John Binns is taking responsibility for the hack. Binns exchanged messages with Journal reporter Drew Fitzgerald via Telegram. Here's Drew.
We still don't have the full picture. The company hasn't released all the information that it has or may have in the future about how this breach occurred. But we do know that there was a public access point that the attacker used to get into T-Mobile's network in the first place. And from there, he moved along into the company's internal databases to basically siphon off tens of millions of customer records. We still don't know if he acted alone or with others. There are signs that he could have had help. But at the end of the day, this is a person who's been known in the cybersecurity community and has shown an ability to find weak spots in networks in the past. And he obviously took advantage in T-Mobile's case.
T-Mobile said it repaired the security hole that enabled the breach. A spokeswoman declined to comment on Binns' specific claims. All right, coming up after the break, NFTs were supposed to disrupt the art market. But lately, hackers and scammers have gotten in the way. That's next.
There's no better feeling than being in control of your work, your personal life, and your future. If your drinking habits are impacting that sense of control, there's a personalized and private way to help you manage how much and how often you drink. Vorvita is a web-based program that uses tools and techniques based on cognitive behavioral therapy to help identify triggers, break negative behaviors, and develop healthier responses. If you're ready to rethink how you drink, learn more at us.vorvita.com.
It's been a minute since we've talked about NFTs on the show. As you might remember, NFTs are non-fungible tokens, basically like a certificate of authenticity for almost any kind of digital asset. When we first started talking about NFTs, they were seen as a game changer for artists in particular, reshaping how creators work and what they can demand as payment. But lately, we're beginning to see some growing pains in the emerging NFT market as scammers and hackers get involved. Here with more is our reporter, Kelly Crow. She covers the art market for us. Hey, Kelly, thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me.
So, Kelly, can you just start by refreshing our memory here? Why are NFTs seen as this huge windfall for artists? How do they kind of shake up the status quo?
Well, for decades, artists have obviously been using computers to play with art, to do preparatory sketches, to do video clips of major installations they wanted to do, or even just meme-like JPEGs. But there was really no way to trade them or to let them sort of be traded and sold and sold and sold on down the line with any clear way to get resale royalties, to sort of establish a provenance, because you can sort of click on your phone and get a screenshot image of the very same thing. So finding a way for technology to establish which was the legit original one from the artist took some time, and the blockchain technology and non-fungible tokens in particular sort of unlocked the Pandora box of NFT art.
Yeah, and along with the goods, we've also seen some of the bads rise as that Pandora box was open. You know, we've been seeing this rise in scams related to this market. What's been going on there? What have we been seeing?
Yeah, it's kind of terrifying. I started getting some feelers and emails from artists who either they had posted their work on platforms that turned out to be fake and just took their credit card information, or were using their art to steal potential buyers' credit card information. Other scammers were copying and pasting their image files that they had posted on, you know, just free community share sites like DeviantArt, and then were then turning those images into NFTs and selling them without their permission. And then there's a whole gamut of just more typical hacks and phishing schemes where NFT artists who were suddenly very popular were getting a lot of private messages on their social media pages, seeking commissions, seeking collaborations. It was kind of in this frenzy, right? Artists were opening and closing files a lot. And in the case of several artists, all it takes is one click, right, to get a virus uploaded to your system. And a lot of them lost millions of dollars. We're talking serious money that was going out the door. That's really hard to retrieve from a hacker.
And to be clear here, this is hitting every level of the art market, right? This is not limited to just the fringes.
No. I mean, I was stunned when a few months ago, someone posing as the street artist Banksy started posting a bunch of NFTs of his sort of stencil-like works, and $900,000 worth of these sort of phony NFTs sold before the artist was able to sort of pipe up and say, hey, those aren't for me. Like, those aren't going to have value in the long haul. The sites themselves, in this case, it was OpenSea. I mean, they can sort of block the seller, but it's really hard to get your money back. I talked with another artist who had never minted an NFT. He just has been sort of doing these really cool video loops of people's portraits where like boxes and chickens sort of come out of their heads and like crazy sort of Rube Goldbergian sort of things happen on these people's faces. And he was horrified last month because people started hitting him up on social media saying, hey, congratulations on your NFT drop. And he's never minted a single thing. He went again, the same platform, OpenSea. And there was a guy sort of posing as him with his official bio from his webpage, trying to sell off 122 of his works. I mean, that's a career's worth of work to just sort of rob. Adding insult to injury, he got the phony page taken down, and another version has since popped up. He's obviously frustrated because he doesn't want his reputation ruined. And it also begs interesting questions, like in the future, if he issues an NFT, like how confident are other people going to be in buying those things, and how burned do his best fans sort of feel if they got robbed this time around? It's really bothering a lot of artists.
Yeah, I can totally imagine. So I wonder if you can give us a sense of scale. You know, last we checked in, NFTs were absolutely exploding in the art market. How widespread are these scams in that context? You know, how often is this happening?
The interesting thing is that they landed with such a splash, right, that people in my traditional art world kind of feel like NFTs might already be passé, but nothing could be further from the truth, you know, and we're finding from folks like DappRadar that more NFTs are selling in the last 3 months than were selling in the early spring when it was sort of all the rage. And so it does matter the kind of security regulations and loopholes that are permeating this space, because a lot of people are playing in it now. What we're having trouble getting is any sort of way to sort of pin down the scale and the breadth of these attacks, in part because the sort of the appeal of decentralization was that it's so the whole marketplace was decentralized, right? And so this idea of no regulations and no banks sort of issuing things and no Congress telling you what you can and can't do was part of the utopian sort of post-banking sort of promise of cryptocurrency. And I think what's biting people is that, you know, that's also maybe made it very appealing to the bad guys. And a lot of the folks who are entering into this space now are not very crypto literate. You know, they're artists, they're collectors, they've just heard the buzz and they kind of want to play. And I mean, it just makes them such easy marks for folks who are very seasoned at scamming people.
And I want to talk about why NFT art fraud is so damaging to the victims. You know, you mentioned the potential reputational damage that it could do to an artist. But then for buyers, there's also the added challenge of restitution, you know, getting the money back.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I mean, the shocking part for me in reporting this story is that the transparency of NFT trades allows people to see where their money is going, but there's very little recourse to get it back. So you are stuck in this awful situation, you know, in the case of this artist, you know, Milos Rajevic, who I talked about, who had all the pieces, you know, suddenly of his on OpenSea. You know, he can write to OpenSea and say, hey, can you take this page down? But he can see the address of the phony guy selling his work, and he can see where that money goes. And, you know, he doesn't have the hacking skills to get his money back. So really the only recourse that I've found so far is that for folks who use a credit card rather than cryptocurrency to buy NFTs can often appeal to their credit card companies like they typically would after a fraud. But if you're playing in, you know, Ether or Bitcoin or all these other cryptocurrencies, it's kind of, you know, buyer beware.
Definitely. So what is the art community doing to combat this rising problem?
Yeah, so the traditional art world, ironically, is sort of going back to sort of tried and true methods to try to safeguard their own. There are companies popping up like VerisArt and another company called Chip that are trying to take more measures on the sort of the front end and the back end. This company called Chip is allowing artists to embed a lot of archival information and provenance and sort of more records, right, attached when they mint the NFTs, which makes it harder for hackers to just sort of create phony ones. Also, there are often physical byproducts of that. So you will get a certificate of authenticity. You will get some things with the presumption that you really can't sell that unless you have both pieces. VerisArt also creates sort of digital certificates of authenticity as well, that it, and physical ones that it attaches to the work. So it's kind of sad that in order to keep digital things safe, we're reverting to some old tech. But paper does work, and it's worked for the art market for a very long time to sort of prove that a thing is what it is. But, you know, for artists, they wanted to get beyond that. They wanted to vouch for their own things. I spoke with the artist Neil Balufa, and he's like, the whole point is we want to vouch for our own art. We want to say what's real and what's not and take some of that control back from authenticators and curators and people moving forward. You know, 300 years from now, he wants, you know, people to see his work and see his voucher for it and that to be enough. And I think the industry needs to come up with some standards or some norms that will ensure that that kind of, you know, hope could actually be realized.
All right. That's our reporter, Kelly Crow. Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks a lot.
That's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our supervising producer is Chris Zinsley. Our executive producer is Kateri Yoakum. And I'm your fill-in host, Amanda Llewellyn. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.